in 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Rhythm and Wit. My name is David Steele, and today we have a special interview with Mr. Dan Wade.
Hi, David.
Hi, welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you have a show coming up that you wanted to talk about, and I mean, I think I've seen you do stand-up. I know you're a stand-up comedian. I guess I'll start with one question I like to just ask is, who are you and what do you do?
Well, by day I'm in the fire hydrant business.
Okay, cool.
I'm not sure how much y'all want to know about fire hydrants, but
interesting though.
I started doing a little bit of stand up, you know, just open mic stuff in 2018, 2019.
Cool.
And after doing that for a few months, I realized there were more and more musicians that were going to the open mics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd been on stage forever, but I'd never really performed as a musician in front of anybody.
And so
I started doing some songs at the old public access mic and,
mm-hmm.
and realized, wow, this is a completely different experience.
And you're doing songs, but they're comedic songs. I know a big influence is Randy Newman.
Yep.
Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason to live. They got little hands, little eyes.
Do you write your own original stuff?
No, I've tried. Yeah. I've never found anything I was happy with.
But you just kind of bring up, because he's probably got a huge catalog you can pull from. And
he does, yeah.
Sure, no, but everyone knows who that is, I think, or a lot of people know. Because my only touchstone, I mean, generally, is like the Toy Story, you know, music.
Sure. My favorite deputy.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
It's all very good, but it's obviously there's some more classics that I know from like the classic rock stations that would play. It's like, oh, I know, I'm familiar with that. But yeah, so is it safe to assume that Randy Newman is the reason you became interested in being an entertainer? Is that kind of an early influence of yours? Or?
Well, I wouldn't say early, but probably about 15 years ago, I started really getting into him.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd played piano, you know, ever since I was a kid, but he was really the first pop artist that I started messing around with and figuring out how to play.
Yeah, learning his songs.
Yeah. And so I've realized that there were a lot of people like you who knew a little bit about him. And the more I talked to people, the more I realized that he's one of the most underrated and most misunderstood singers and songwriters out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started performing this Randy tribute,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we're doing here on the 20th. Mainly as a way to open people's eyes to realize, there's more to this guy than what I thought.
This is a song called Louisiana, 1927.
That's kind of largely unheard, you know, and so it's like you're kind of bringing that up, and kind of shining a light on it, because people can probably go listen to this stuff obviously online or whatever and hear the recordings, but they might not ever know to look for that if they haven't seen you.
and even if they're just looking at it, Spotify is really unfair to
them. Oh, yeah.
Because if you put in a Randy Newman channel, within 5 or 6 songs, you're going to get to the Frozen soundtrack. And things okay, that have nothing to do with
which it. Which is, those are obviously probably have millions of plays compared to anything else that's there, right. For sure.
And, you know, don't get me wrong, I enjoy his Disney and Pixar stuff. I'm glad the man's been able to make a living.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the old stuff that
for sure,
that I like diving in on.
That's awesome. So, let's see. So you said you started as a piano player. Is that your main instrument, piano?
Yeah.
You play that at the show. I guess I hadn't thought about that exactly. I assumed it was guitar, but, I mean, yeah, that's awesome. Because I hadn't been to this show. I know you said this is, what, the 6th time?
Yeah, we've done about 6 shows in the
past
couple
years. That's incredible, because I've seen you do it the last time you did it, maybe last year or sometime within the last year, I know. And I had missed it, and then I was interested because it seems like... I love shows that are just, you know, we all do a lot of comedy shows. I love going to just stand-up, you know, showcases. But I love to see, you know, like stuff that Wampus does with their Wampus Weathers Wednesdays.
Yeah.
It's just a different style of comedy. It's just, you know, it's something on a stage, but it's a little twist on it, you know?
Right.
And especially music, because I'm a musician. And if you incorporate music and comedy, I think it's difficult to do.
It really
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of, because like one of my early, early memories is like Weird Al, like growing up.
And, yeah.
Like, he was kind of, like you said, an early pop artist that I would connect with. And it's like, I don't know, there's something that's silly, but the music was good. Obviously, they're covers of great songs. But, yeah, so I don't know. But, yeah, comedy and music can be...
It's hard to do well. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do poorly.
Yeah, because there's a lot of bad stuff out there.
Oh, there's so much bad stuff.
But then whenever they kind of... Are there any other kind of comedic groups or acts that you like?
I mean...
Anything come to mind? I don't know. I'm just curious.
I mean, I like... Well, I there's lots of people I like. People with a comedic twist.
I was
you know, John Prine
obviously
has some really funny stuff. Tom T. Hall walks that line really well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much that they're writing... parodies. Yeah. It's just musicians who don't take themselves very seriously.
Right, yeah. I just have a look. It's kind of like even like Bob Dylan, I think. Bob Dylan has kind of got, you know, humor in a lot of his songs, that's like, but they're very like humor, but he's talking about serious stuff.
Right.
That's what I like about certain acts. Or I even think of like the Flaming Lips, the local group, you know.
Sure.
Here, it's like they have some very silly songs. What they're talking about is very serious, but it's just got a weird, silly, you know, musical thing on top of it. But I don't know. Very cool mix of, like I said, I'm always curious to find, but it is difficult to find the good ones. So, let me just see. I'll jump down to like what would you say is like the one of the most important aspects of being like a successful entertainer, and like what aspect do you struggle with the most?
Well, thank you for assuming that I'm successful.
Well, you know, just like, what is your idea of success? What do you think is important to be a good, successful, if you were, you know, whether you are, whatever you strive to be, I think is...
You know, I want people, if they're coming to a show or if they're, you know, listening to my podcast, I want them to have a good time.
Right, yeah.
I want them to learn a little. Mm-hmm. Wampus calls me an evangelist for Randy, which I think is a great word for it, because I'm there to spread the word more than anything.
Right.
But, you know, we're there to have fun. If you're not there to have fun, why are you doing
this? Yeah, so that's a good point for sure. I mean, you just got to, because it almost doesn't matter what it is that you do. If you can make it fun,
yeah,
it's going to be fun. So yeah, because I just remembered I hadn't seen you do stand up in a while. I remember we used to go to the Fairweather Friend all the time last year. But yeah, a lot of your stuff was always very like statistical data.
You know, there was a lot of that
back then. That was really fun.
Yeah.
So I like seeing that too. It's like incorporating like Rowan Weathers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, similar. Rowan. If you know Rowan, you know my style. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So have you done that any stand or open mics or any shows lately?
Been a couple months. Yeah. Trying to find my crowd again.
Yeah, and find the venue for it too, because Fairweather's gone, and then even the Ships and Giggles.
Yeah.
Did you ever make it out there?
I did. I was there probably about half the shows.
Yeah, because I hadn't seen you. I was about the same. I couldn't make it every week, but I tried to go as much as I could. But that one was a good one. Hopefully there'll be another good one like that pop up. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Because they're always coming up. So, like, this is the last serious question. Like, what is, what's one of the biggest challenges that you've had to face in order to make it to where you are? And what advice do you have for anyone maybe to overcome that challenge, or particularly for the younger generations?
It took me a long time to get the confidence to get on stage. You know, what you're seeing up there, you know, I'm singing songs for an hour, but you know, I'm not a great musician.
Yeah.
I'm not a great singer. I'm good enough to know, I'm good enough to be able to tell that someone is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's as far as it goes.
Which that takes skill too.
But, you know,
you have to get to a certain point to be able to appreciate a certain level.
but the hour and a half of performing, you know, that's 10 years of practice for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not something that I could have done in my 30s.
Like, coming up, or yeah, just...
You know,
if you just decided tomorrow you wanted to do...
No, it took a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that really surprised me was I'd been doing stand-up for 6 months and was really comfortable on stage. Mm-hmm. But the first time on stage with a keyboard, all of those... First time butterflies were back.
Yeah, interesting.
And that's something I wasn't prepared for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where you just keep getting back on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I sing to a lot of, you know, nursing homes and retirement centers. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how good a time they have, but I need more time on stage to figure out how to, you know, how to recover when a chord goes wrong.
Right, yeah.
You know, that's the kind of thing you can't, you can't just come to naturally, or at least I can't.
For sure. I think you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about, I mean, I do get it from that perspective because I've been playing music on stage for almost 20 years. I mean, maybe, about 17 or so. And it's like, I'm sure like the first 10 of that even, maybe about half, it was like terrible, like always getting so nervous before shows.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're just like, I don't even think about it. And to the point where I forget that other people still have to deal with that. They're in the group with me. You know, I'm just like, what? You know, I'm just on a different aspect. But of course, but a part of that is just being on stage. You can practice in a garage or, you know, practice in a rehearsal space for every day for, you know, whatever, once a week and get so good. But then as soon as you take that out of there and move it somewhere else, like, it's a different game.
Yeah,
and like,
the energy is just
And you almost have to practice that. The only way to practice that is to get up there, just like with stand-up. I mean, that's something that I haven't explored yet. I've thought about it for a long time. I think I need to try it eventually.
Yeah.
Just so I'm too close to it to not, you know, I just don't have really aspirations of being a stand-up comic, and I know I'm not going to put that work into it. I might, who knows, because I think that obviously once you try it, you're going to either be addicted to it like so many people are, I'm sure. So we'll see, but I do think it is this... I've always thought about that with stand-up is like the only way to practice stand-up is to go and do open mics and
only
get in front of people.
Only
you cannot do it, and like you can with music. But even that, it's like there's this difference about...
Even that, you're never prepared for how people are going to react.
Right, yeah.
They're going to laugh at something that you didn't expect them to laugh at.
Yeah, that's definitely... I think it's way... That's what I think. I mean, I'm sure it probably is harder to do stand-up than it is to play music in a lot of aspects. But I think everyone's different. I don't know. Who knows? So anyways, that's great. I think that's definitely something I thought about for a long time in both, because like I think about stand-up a lot. I talk to a lot of musicians. I'm very fascinated by the art form of it.
If you decide to do it, let me know. I definitely want to.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like not saying I want to see the first time. I want to see you struggle.
That's the thing. Because I've just now recently left my job at the news that I've been at for almost a decade, working this early shift, and now I actually could dedicate the time because I don't have to be in bed at 7 p.m. every weekday to get up for the morning news. So it's like I couldn't even do it before if I wanted to. So the door is a little bit more open for me. I think it'd be fun. Like I said, I think for me, I think about this a lot because I think that for me, I don't want to have to write the material. I think that's the part that I'm like, man, I don't know. It's like, doesn't sound fun. Obviously getting up and doing it. And I think that's the exciting part, but you have to actually have material first. I think that is the struggle for most comics, even when you start, I don't know. So, I just remembered. But you're working on, or we just did the Martin Dupras film.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody I worked with. Well, I was staring at you for so long. I'm sorry.
You have a role in. I asked you a couple questions about that just because that was super fun. And you had never done any acting at all like that before?
Nothing at all, no.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool. What was it like? Do you want to talk about it at all? Like, what was the experience like for you?
Well, just like with the first time on stage. Just a completely new experience, Jeremy and Lauren are so good about, you know, encouraging you and telling you what they're looking for, and they realize that I've got no experience with this, but just took this little role and we're able to have fun with I'm looking forward to this project.
Yeah, I am too. You know, I've been helping him with sound on everything, and it's been super fun to work on, and just like you said, see them work. I think they've been very focused on, you know, they know like every section that they need to put it together in the end, and I think that they knew exactly what they needed from you, and it's like, I mean, they already knew you could deliver what they wanted, so it was a good fit because you're playing a senator being interviewed by Marcus. I don't want to give it away.
It ends badly for the senator.
But no, it's so check that out. I'm, you know, look forward to seeing Dan in Awkward Gawker pretty soon, because they're aiming to get it finished for Dead Center, I think. So
nice.
So that's it. I wanted to I thought about that earlier and I was like, that's something I just wanted to bring up because I'm super excited about it. And so would you be interested in doing any more acting or anything like that?
Always happy to help a friend out, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not making headshots or anything.
For sure, yeah. Because that's, I mean, a lot of people could do it. I mean, especially here, it's something that you could get into just being an entertainer. I think it's a lot easier to, because you're used to being this, at least having the spotlight on.
Right.
So, let's see. I guess so. Yeah, let's just talk about the show. Like, it's going to be Friday, September 20th at 7 p.m. This is Tall Person in Concert at Rodeo Cinema.
Yeah, that's Rodeo Cinema on Sheridan. Yeah. Don't go to the Stockyards.
That's the one thing. I love that place. It's like, I really wish they'd get their names figured out, because they got Rodeo Cinema, the Paramount Room. Film Row. Anyways, Sheridan.
And you know, every person who's owned that building, their social media account is still open. So there's five different Paramount Room social medias out there.
I will link to the correct one or the most current one if I can find it.
Yeah. So that's
no, I've linked to that. I've already. Yeah. So
that's going to be Friday the 20th, and Wampus Reynolds is going to be emceeing, and then Katie Alley is going to be my opener. And really, those two, that's worth the cost of the ticket right there. If you watch those two and then leave, you've got your money's worth. Really excited to have both of them on. Yeah, and then, I'm performing as Tall Person, and usually have a couple of guest vocalists.
Oh, nice.
Got some surprises.
Cool. That,
if you've been one of these before, this one's definitely different.
Cool. Yep. Yeah. So do you like different sets? I mean, you just kind of change up this music, I assume, each one, so you don't get the exact same music.
And you know, I'm always learning new stuff because, you know, like you said, this catalog's so big. There are always ones that's like, that's what I've always wanted to learn to play. This is going to be the one where we learn it.
Are there any kind of ones that... I guess, do you want to share anything exciting? Maybe a new one that you're bringing up, or do you want to be a surprise?
You know, my podcast is Wheel of Randy.
Okay, yeah.
And the because I started performing in 2019 and was getting this show ready, and then when COVID hit, I was like, I need to turn this nervous energy into something.
Yeah, so that's how you started the podcast.
Made the podcast.
Cool.
And the theme behind the wheel is that we have this electronic wheel that spins and lands on a song, and we have to listen to it and
talk about
get our reactions on that. Well, now I have a physical wheel.
Okay.
And so I've got my set list, but we've got 14 songs that we're going to spin the wheel and see what it lands on. So
any of them, you practice them all, so it's not like that big of a surprise when it lands, but it's kind of random in that way.
It's going to
add some interactivity. Do you have the audience come spin?
We probably will. We'll figure that out. But
cool.
There's going to be some surprises on that.
Nice.
And trying to land a guest vocalist for a couple of new songs.
Cool. Do you do any backup instruments too, ever?
Not yet. I'd really like to get into that, but for now it's usually just me and the keyboard.
No, I know a guy. Josh Bartrug is a guy that plays in one of my bands that he just got back from Japan, but I don't know. He'd be interested. I know he would, if you maybe want to set that up for next time or something learn. I don't know. It could be interesting. It could be a collaboration because he's a drummer, but he's a great guitar player.
Okay.
And I play bass, so it's I don't know. That'd be fun to do it, get ready for it. Especially because it's not it'd be one show. You just practice and learn some songs.
Right.
I don't know.
I could really use a violin player.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
And I keep expecting one to just kind of fall into my lap. Someone saying, "Hey, my kid's in high school and playing the violin.
Yeah.
Needs some stage time."
My sister is, but she's in Colorado. I don't even know if she'd be interested in that. But she's. I don't know. She even has kept up with it too. But
so the show is gonna gonna be lots of songs that. Songs that people know. We're going to throw some Pixar ones out there, of course.
There's going to be some popular ones.
And you know, that he has written so many songs for other people that a lot of times people are surprised. Oh, I didn't know that was one of his.
You can play that's really fun too. So
it's going to be a great time.
Cool. Everyone go check out Tall Person, a tribute to Randy Newman at Friday, September 20th at 7 p.m. The Paramount on Film Row, 701 West Sheridan Avenue in Oklahoma City. Tickets are $10 at rodeocinema.org. You can get them there. So go check it out. And we're excited to see what you do with that and see it continue to grow, because you plan on doing them maybe another one in another year or so.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find a venue in Tulsa. And I wouldn't mind going to Dallas.
Because you could take it to different cities and maybe do it more often for sure. I always think about that, but the world opening up now, it's people are more everything is able to grow and get out of this funk we've been in. So,
right.
So anyways, I guess we'll wrap it up there. Okay. So yeah, thanks for coming by, Dan. We're really excited about the show and everything that you do in the community, and hopefully get to do more. And like I said, I'd love to see you do some more stand-up soon. So let us know.
Right.
Nick Campbell, he's always looking for people to put on some shows. So I'm sure if you had some material ready,
probably dust some stuff.
Yeah,
off.
I mean, we'll definitely hit you up about something, because he's always got all kinds of stuff. Because are you into comic book stuff here?
No.
Oh, okay, you were talking about X-Men, because he's got a comic book shop that he's trying to put.
Okay.
But it would be like he's trying to look for like that. I mean, to do like theme comic book nerdy theme comedy. Yeah, I was just curious. So anyways, all right, well, that's it. Thanks for watching, everyone. Check out Dan's show, Tall Person, and we'll see you then. All right. Thanks.
Someone's down.